Okay, Charles, if we could, okay, so Flannery O'Connor, we could discuss maybe some other time, but back to Billy Graham here.
I invoked her for a reason, and the reason is that Billy Graham's fire and his zeal for his Christ, the Christ that haunts the South, the Christ mm-hmm. that haunted his revivals, his crusades, the Christ that they don't know, but they've got to do something about. They can't just sit there passively. That was what gave Graham his conviction. And you see, most of us Catholics, secure in our higher worship, tend to take it all very much for granted. Mm-hmm. Graham did not. And this is part of the reason why so many Catholics, again, presuming that the Christ he worshipped was the Christ they worship, were taken aback by him, yeah. were inspired and impressed, because you rarely see Catholics show the kind of zeal for Christ that a man like Billy Graham did for his Christ.
Now, I've been reading about him for a couple of days, just reading some different summaries of his life and things and different takes that people had, both Protestant and Catholic. And what one of the things that you meet with is there's this transformation from a Southern Presbyterian who, at 17 years old, finds Christ at some sort of a revival. And at that point decides to give himself to the Lord, and then goes to some sort of Bible school to become a preacher man, becomes ordained becomes a Southern Baptist, becomes ordained, quote-unquote, a Southern Baptist minister, then ends up going to Wheaton College, where he meets his wife, Ruth, and decides that she wanted to be a missionary in Tibet. Her daddy was a missionary in China. But Billy convinced her that it was God's will that she be his wife and stay here. And he ends up starting these crusades, as they were called. He's launched into fame, apparently, largely due to the goodwill of William Randolph Hearst's newspapers, you know, plugging him, doing these puff pieces on him. And becomes very, very famous. But as he's doing so, he's a Baptist minister, but he dropped the name Baptist off of his first church where he was a pastor. Then he sort of stopped the pastoring thing and just went around being a quote-unquote evangelist. And all he did was preach this sort of simple message. But the message became less and less denominational and less fundamentalist and this sort of vague kind of evangelism or evangelicalism. And it becomes, now you'll find Protestants attacking him from different angles. Some of them say, there was actually one guy attacking him for a works-based system of salvation. And then you'll find others who like this Nalber fellow, who in the pages of Time magazine accused them of simplifying the gospel to just, you know, put in your commitment card, sign your commitment card, and that's it. So it seems as if he very much even oversimplified evangelical Christianity. But then as he meets Catholics and becomes and Mormons, he ends up sending people that finally accept Christ at his revivals or his crusades. He sends them to their various churches, whether they're Methodists or doctrine didn't matter. Whatever, he said, just above all, go to church. So he's sending Catholics to Catholic churches, which freaked out the fundamentalists.
It sure did. In fact, the in 1997, I've got it in front of me, and I don't mind quoting it. He was interviewed by Robert Schuller, himself a Dutch Reformed minister, prosperity gospel fellow, who was the builder of the Crystal Cathedral.
Yes, yes.
Now becoming the Catholic Cathedral in Orange, California.
Yeah, it's hideous.
One of the great, well, see, the thing was they wanted to build something that would outdo our cathedral, and they didn't have the money, so buy one already met. Anyway. This is the quote from Graham, and I mean, what do you say? But you can see why it would appeal to Americans. He says, "I think that everybody that loves and knows Christ whether they are conscious of it or not,
yep.
Here's your implicit baptism of desire.
Yep.
They are members of the body of Christ. God is calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they have been called by God. They may not know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts that they need something they do not have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think that they are saved and they are going to be with us in heaven.